Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and, frankly, appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and the Dream is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And welcome to the Footy Prime Television podcast program starring these people. Let's get this party started.
Hey, it's Friday, everyone. Isn't that good? I look forward to the weekend. I'm not sure about you. Although these days are kind of all kind of every day is the same, pretty much. You know, a little bit of Footy Prime here, a little bit of Footy Prime there.
Little pie there.
Little pie here, little pie there. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, is it wrong of me to admit that I'm kind of looking forward to the end of the European soccer season? As much as I'm looking forward to the run-in, the next few games and what it means in a few of the leagues still, Specifically the Premier League, you know, a lot of drama still potentially, but I'm kind of looking forward to a little bit of downtime, just focus on CPL, MLS before Euro and Copa. It's been a lot, you know, this time of year when you're focusing on everything at once, it's a lot. Don't you think, Craig?
It's only because Liverpool are sucking right now.
That's 100% the reason.
Yeah, I'm giving up on the European season.
Nah, fine. No, I'm still looking forward to the run-ins. I am. But it's been a grind, right? And so many sports right now where we're focused on. That's why. Did you hear about Van Dijk's comments after the loss this week to Everton? He says, responding to the performance from his teammates, do they really want to win the league? If you play like this overall in the game and not win any challenges off of...
Hey, wait. Whose phone's going off?
Whose is going off? It's Craig, I think, isn't it?
No, it's Jimmy. No, it's 100%.
Jimmy, turn your phone off. Turn your computer off. It's so loud. You don't notice, but it's so loud.
I don't think Jimmy can hear it.
Is Jimmy okay?
Is he frozen?
Jimmy, if you are okay, nod. He can't hear us right now.
I don't think he can hear us. Oh, my God.
All right, let's continue.
JC, can you put him on mute?
Maybe he's just fucking with us.
He was having computer issues, right? So that could be why he sent us a text. Anyway, Virgil van Dijk, he says post-match, do they really want to win the league if you play like this overall in the game and not win any challenges and give the referee an opportunity to give a free kick away, then we have no chance to win the title. When your captain says, do they even want to win the league? I mean, not many players can say that, right? You have to have a certain presence, I think, in that room. You have to be, if not the captain, certainly a leader. Do you think it was pure emotion, Dubs, when he came out and said that? Or, I mean, let's be honest, if you watch the game, he's not wrong, is he?
No, he's not. I think, though, I have no problems with that. Him being the captain, I think you're right that only a certain amount of players can do that. I think that the players wouldn't really have a whole lot to say because, as you said, you know, that was exactly – what is it, Wonger?
No, someone else is talking in the background.
Oh. It may be my daughter.
Oh, okay. Go.
Telling me how much she loves
me. Keep it down. Like when other people tell your kids what to do?
It was exactly, you know, the criticism was completely warranted based on that performance. To me, Liverpool right now not only look like they've ran out of gas, they've run out of steam, but like they're going through a grieving process. You know, they're anticipating the loss of Klopp, and they're seeing it kind of fall out of their grasp, that they're no longer in control of their own fate and their destiny to be able to do this for their manager, who's so beloved. And so it's almost like you're seeing it happening in real time, or like a car accident when everything slows down before the impact, you know. And it's a shame, because I really do think it's there might be some physical things at play, just in terms of, do they have the legs? A lot of players don't look match fit. He's rotated a lot and seen success, you know, playing the younger players in the Carabao Cup, and they were able to win that. But, you know, it's going to be seen as a disappointment. And I think the way that you see this team, I think that they're realizing it too, that it's not going to happen for them, and it's not going to happen for Klopp. They're not going to be able to give him the send off that he deserves and that they want to give him.
It's well, a happen for Slot.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's a flaccid end to the season, but thankfully they have Slot on the way. Something in there, isn't there?
There is.
But it must be weird, Craig. I mean, I'm not sure if you've been in a similar situation where you know the manager's leaving at the end of the season, and there's speculation about the new man. I'd say it's difficult, but is it an uncomfortable environment to be in, do you think, for those players?
It's very strange. It doesn't happen very often. You know, usually 99% of the time it's the manager getting fired. He's not leaving. I've never known anything like it, in certainly in my career. I never had anything where managers like going to call it a day. Mm-hmm. Just because they got fired is why they're walking out the door.
Mm-hmm.
It is very strange. It is a strange situation. And even Klopp said, I think it's weighed heavy on the players.
How about a Barcelona where Xavi announces he's leaving at the end of the season, and now he's changed his mind. He's staying now. So you wonder if there are any players in that room who took advantage. Oh, the gaffer's leaving. What the hell, you know? Don't respect him now. I'm going to play up a little bit here. And then next day, oh, by the way, he's staying. Oh, shit. Like, figured you out, sunshine.
I can't imagine that you would do that, right? You're professionals, and of course you're going to have those characters, those personalities that are going to push the envelope a little bit more and maybe see if they can take a little bit more for themselves as individuals. But I think they're few and far between, and I would be surprised if a lot of them were like, oh crap, what have I done here?
Hey, Jimmy and I were talking about it on TFC Three Questions. John Herdman coming out post match after Simcoe Rovers. And saying, you know, listen, we wanted to get a record, a club record there. So he was disappointed with the performance. 5 goals, 4 in the first half. Not a great second half despite the subs. I'm just curious as to your thoughts on this, Craig. What was John within his rights? Was it disrespectful, as some people allege, to Simcoe Rovers?
I don't think that was his intent. They had a goal, obviously, is trying to score 7 goals. But, I mean, against Simcoe Rovers, I mean, should be 10, shouldn't it?
But should you have come out and said it publicly? Some people are uncomfortable with that, I think.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I have to say the Sharms energy on the TFC Three Questions podcast was a 10 on 10. Like, the morning record is something that you should absolutely repeat.
Yeah, for TFC
much higher energy. Yes,
way more. Yeah, I hate the 4 p.m.
Yeah. Oh yeah. you could hear it. You're kind of snappy, and there was good. I mean, always good banter from Jimmy, but you even kind of were pushing JMO to the brink of playing that role of the straight man to perfection. Mm-hmm. I think you got him to call you a JMO dick, which I very much appreciated.
Yeah, when I can chisel out. Expletive from JMO. It's a successful show. It's great.
Yeah, all about Oso's 350th appearance being recognized by the club.
Well, come on. It's such an arbitrary number. That's my point. Come on. I'm going to keep doing this.
I know.
You know he's played. Every game he plays is a new record for TFC. Yeah. Every game.
Yeah.
Well, so isn't it 350 an odd one? I mean, 250, okay, five for sure, but 350, okay, let's not go down this path again.
No, let's not do it. But I just want to weigh in quickly on Herdman's comment. So I think you talked about the Canadian soccer landscape being devoid of characters and personalities when it comes to, I mean, any sport, right? It's always the same platitudes, the same cliches. So of course you don't want to quell that or stamp on that, but there has to be respect. And so if that's said in the locker room, great. Don't say it publicly. That might be understood. Don't put a number on it. Just say, you know, we created a number of chances. We should have capitalized more. We should have been more clinical in the box. We should have scored more goals. Don't put a fucking number on it, John. So that's where I have.
Why not be transparent?
Because
why must the room be so secretive and so, I don't know, what says in the room stays in the room? Why can't we get it out there?
Well, hold on, Mitch. Would he do that against Montreal? Would he say that against Vancouver?
No, maybe not. You're right.
No, you wouldn't. So if you're going to play that game, then do it against Montreal and say we want seven against you.
Yeah, but he knows he's not going to get a seven against.
You don't do it against an amateur club. Half these guys have just come off a job site. Half of them are in school and they're coming to play against you. That's
like a riled up Jimmy. First thing he says, piss and vinegar, right out of the box.
You don't do it. It's an amateur football club. That's their cup final that they just played in.
So you think Simcoe Rovers are going home crying now? Because, oh, did you hear what John said? It's not fair. Like, who cares?
No, it's not about the reaction and what you're kind of inciting or what you're delivering in terms of a response from somebody. It's conducting yourself with professionalism. You can still have character and personality and a certain swagger and brashness. But you have to have respect all the time. So there's no reason to put a number on it. So you're talking about amateur clubs up against a pro side, up against a franchise in MLS. So conduct yourself with a little bit of professionalism. That's where I think he went over the line.
But isn't John just trying to establish some kind of winning culture at that club, which has been a disaster for years now? He's got to have that swagger. So listen, boys, we should be smashing lesser teams by this number of goals, right? And why can't he tell that to the public? Does it really affect Simcoe? Are they really offended by this?
How would TFC feel if they're playing Real Madrid and Real Madrid scored six and they said, we were going for 10?
I think it's just a reality of the situation.
Only MLS.
Would it really upset them? Would it really affect them?
You're talking about the response and the reaction. Yeah, I'm just saying what I think Dubs wants to say because I see her face cringing while you're going on trying to respect the podcast etiquette of letting you finish. And her face is just all stirred up.
Yeah.
The whole notion of respect, though, the whole notion of he's asked respect. A question about his team's performance, right? Like I'm not happy with it. And they won 5-0. So how do you explain why you're not happy with a 5-0 win, right? And he explained it. We wanted more than that. I set the standard. I wanted this team to break a record.
It was transparent.
I don't see why that is offensive, why people are upset by this.
I'm not.
I don't see why the respect level, the line is being crossed. If he said, they are so terrible, man. We've got to smash. No, he's saying our team's performance should have been at a certain level that we broke our club record. That's my point.
I think you make it more about yourselves. You talked about John's want and the need at that club to build a winning culture. So make it about your own team. Don't make it about a number that you have to put up, even though that record already exists. Make it about intangibles. Make it about things, boxes that you want to tick as a culture, as a club, in order to get it over the line, in order to have success. It's not about some fucking arbitrary number to break a record.
Could it be, and let me just speculate here, could it be in the room post-match, they're all happy, TFC's, we got 5 goals, it's great, and he saw that. And he saw a group of players that aren't really understanding where he wants that team to go. And he's got to kind of send a message saying, no, 5's not good enough. Now, could he have worded it better? Probably. But could it be that? He goes, these guys think they had a great performance today because they won 5-0. No, they didn't. Could that be the message you're trying to send here, Craig?
No.
I think that there is...
What is it? What is the message then?
I think the message can be everything except attaching a number to it. I know it's related to this record, So that's fine. Just allude to the record. Mention the record. Mm. Then it's understood. But you don't have to say we wanted to put up 7 goals against a League One side.
Yeah, who cares if they scored 20? Like, oh, you scored 20 against who? Like, a record against Simcoe Rovers? I want to see a record against somebody good.
Yeah, well, people do care, though, apparently, because they're upset by these comments.
It's not about being upset. I just think it's conducting yourself. No, I'm upset with you. You keep going back to the same well for the counterpoint.
I just, you know what it is? It's just this fucking culture we live in nowadays, right? Where everyone's upset by everything. People, you can't say anything nowadays. Oh, I'm offended. Just shut up. And I'm not telling you to shut up, Dubs. I'm saying that the response I saw on across social media, right? You're making very valid points. Of course you are. But some people just want to stick the knife in there and say,
we do. I have to agree. We do live in a hyperbolic world because hyperbole, I don't know if you know what that guy's is. It's a word that means,
you pronounce it hyperbole.
Prager lives in a hypobolic world.
But
the one public world.
Everyone, you don't get attention unless you're on this exponential overreaction. That's what it is. So if you go out of your way to type on and be a keyboard warrior and type something up, there's no point in saying, oh, I kind of agree with you, Sharms, or I kind of agree with Herdman. It has to be this other elevated level. We don't do hyperbole on Footy Prime. I think we do. But but you're right. Look, you're right, Sharms. I think Herdman once again stepped in it. I don't care that he stepped in it. It's great for us. Gave us a topic, right? And someone mentioned, hey, he did this same thing and stepped in it at the World Cup. This is John Herdman stepping in it once again and perhaps maybe learning from it, or perhaps just going, fuck it. I want to be a manager who throws the gauntlet down to my team, like a lot of coaches across the world who just say, it's us against the world. I don't give a shit about the press. I don't give a shit about the other teams. I don't care about respect. Our job is to win here. We're professionals. Go suck it. Maybe he's saying that.
My fear is John hears a reaction and then says, you know what, to hell with it. I'm just not going to give anything anymore. It's gonna be football coach, post-match comments. That's my fear. You see it all the time. You know, guys tightening up what they're going to say, and that's a real shame. It's okay to disagree, right? That's the thing I think we have to remember across the world. It's okay to disagree with each other. Have an intelligent conversation about it. I'm not trying to change your mind, you know, despite it being clearly wrong, Dubs. I'm happy you have that opinion. but I'm just presenting my opinion too, contrary to the passion and emotion I'm seeing on social media. That's all.
Yeah, and it's a valid argument. I do agree with you that you don't want to get rid of a guy like John who is candid, who gives you quotes, who gives you talking points on a podcast. But if I just see a little bit of irony in it, and that he's talking about, like, you strip all of that stuff away, what it's about is John wanting to push standards for his own club. And yet he falls beneath the bar for himself being a professional, going a little bit too far over the line with that comment. He can impart the same message without mentioning the number and still maintain a modicum of respect for the opponent.
Okay, you win. That was
no, it's not no, about
that,
winning.
That was actually a very good
10 points.
Very eloquent explanation of your point to derail my argument. Let's move on.
Yes.
I feel I'm losing this argument, so I don't know. Jimmy's so appalled by all that he's just left. Mm-hmm. Had enough.
He actually said he's having technical issues, as sometimes happens on our show. But he said, fuck, I wanted in on this topic. So, you know, he was excited to be talking.
He had his time on TFC 3 questions. He made some good points there as well.
Yeah, everyone go listen to it. And Whitecaps too. Great, yeah, great shows this week.
And Montreal.
Thank you.
I think in Montreal, pretty good. Pretty good. And also our Sasha Question interview yesterday with...
What a charming guy. Charming guy. Yeah. Self-effacing, great sense of humor, and played along with, hey, I wanted to punch Kyle Beckerman in the face. I love that.
I think he grew into the interview, too, once he realized who we were as far as the the spiel, the vibe of the show.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he was very good. Excellent. So you give that a chance. Box to Box on all your favorite podcast platforms. Shall we get to Flaccid?
Before we get to Flaccid, ooh, I wanted to talk about the poll I put up.
Oh, yes.
On Twitter.
Speaking of erected. Not being flaccid.
You erected a poll.
This is the segue, I'm guys. Pulled. I'm a professional podcaster. So I... Tangent. Would you be willing, is what our social media manager put up, would you be willing to pay to watch the FIFA Club World Cup on Apple if your favorite club is not participating? We had exactly 100 votes, and the answers were yes, 19%, no, 49%, and fuck no, 32%. So I think it was Martin Bailey who said,
Whoa. you blew your load there.
It's rather appropriate.
thanks, JC. We're going
to show four there.
So that's basically
not again, honey.
81%.
I'm sorry.
I'm doing my math. 81% of the world said, of our world said, they would not pay for Apple for the streaming service if their favorite club is not participating. And I want to go back because this is exactly what I was saying. If the paywall is so restrictive for Apple, what do you guys think?
I think people are full of shit. I do. Next summer, right? There isn't much going on. Gold Cup aside, there isn't much. People will love their football, want their football.
Yeah, but if your team, think about it.
I know. But people love football. People watch World Cups if the team's not in it.
It's like difference. People who are fans of the sport. And there's people who are fans of the team.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I love, like, I'm a huge basketball guy. I love watching the Raptors, but I love watching the sport itself of basketball. Same with soccer. I mean, Spurs, sure, but I love watching a good game.
So if you did this survey, you'd be a yes in the 19%. Why do people lie? I don't think they're liars. I think they're saying, I'm not putting out an extra $25 for this month long tournament where I barely will catch half of it because I'm going to be at the cottage. I'm going to be running around on vacation with my kids. I'm going to be in. That is my point. You're choosing. You were the one who said, Charms, when do people have the time to watch this? There's so many matches. I'm saying to Apple, if you put it behind this paywall, you're going to get people who will just not be able to have the time. So they won't make the effort and they won't pay for the streaming service. That's what I'm saying.
I will say that the way that Apple makes certain MLS games or match days available to non-subscribers, they may go the same route for the FIFA Club World Cup. And then you get people in. And then even before you might get people in for that one game or that one-off game and they think, fuck this, I made a bad decision, I should sign up. You also get, I think if you put your poll up, you know, before a flaccid four, that's good. You're in a good
shape. I did six times this week. Okay. I put my poll up.
Well done, Wonger.
All by myself.
Right in your sun jersey. I think that there's that FOMO that develops. And I've been there too, where I haven't like been a subscriber. Say I didn't have DAZN for a while. And I was like, oh, I don't always need to watch Champions League. And then you see it on social, you see it on Twitter. You see like the pre-match stuff happening. You're like, fuck. And then
once
like,
again,
you get on board.
Dubs, you're a soccer head. I want you to think of your, I think JP, would JP go, oh, I'm missing out on this. JP is not a soccer head. He likes watching with you, right?
Well, no, not even. Like we watched CONCACAF and he's like, how long is this drumming going to last? I'm like, the entire game. And then he fucks off.
That's my point. You need to grow this. This should be a stagecraft for the world. And
oh, Wonga, sorry to interrupt, but you know the way TV broadcasting is heading, right? This is the direction. Free to air ain't happening for much longer.
It's never been free to air.
Sportsnet and Amazon have a new deal for Monday Night Hockey starting next year.
It's never been free to air because you always pay.
Right. But you know what I mean? People think it is, though.
Yes.
It's available on their cable tier.
Yes, but they pay for that. So,
yeah, but they don't realize
it's moving in this direction. Mm-hmm. I'm saying when things are so fragmented, that you have a choice of, and to Dub's point, Columbus and CF Montreal
are free this weekend on Apple TV, but you still have to have the app. So you have to download the app. And I'm not sure, Dubs, if it's free to everyone across the board, or is it only free to regular Apple subscribers?
Oh, I see. Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I have an Apple subscription, so I get it free. But if I don't have Apple subscription, and I got Apple subscription to watch, funny enough, Ted Lasso, right? So you keep these things.
If they're smart, they throw on the regular. You have Apple, you have access to this tournament. They want to grow this, like you said there, for those points. You want to grow this tournament, you throw it on Apple. Or if MLS season pass, you have it on there. That's what they should do. And listen, we're going to see more and more of this whole streaming world evolve. We're seeing it in the States already with the grouping of a bunch of streaming networks into one kind of hub for one price. It's going to happen. It's all evolving all the time, but it's just the future of the way we're going to have to consume sports now.
I don't disagree with that. I'm saying the timing of it, you want this to be a bold move of, hey, everyone is now learning. You're creating a new brand, right? That is the biggest thing. So to put things behind paywalls, it's just like if we launched Footy Prime and put it on, one podcast.
Only fans.
Only behind Only Fans. Exactly.
Which we have. Everyone sign up for Footy Prime. No, onlyfans.com/Footy Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing there yet, right? But there will be.
Nothing yet, but there will be.
Craig's feet. Yeah.
So there you go. Anyways, that was my...
That's interesting. No, it is. Yeah. And I just wonder once, like I think Dubs was alluding to, once you get closer to it, will people's
minds be changed? We'll put it up again. It's a great...
I'm sure a lot of people would perhaps sign up once the knockout rounds begin, when the games get really important. I can see that happening. Can't you?
I don't know, man. If you're uninterested, you're uninterested. And once again, they're combating your competitions across the board. Just like I always, whenever we're competing with eyeballs, we're competing with earballs. And sometimes people, we're putting out a lot of content and we haven't seen the growth of our content at the same rate because people don't have the same amount of time to consume it. And this is what makes me wonder whether going behind an Apple paywall with FIFA is going to be the right move for the FIFA World Cup.
I think with this tournament too, it's just not established yet. It hasn't been around long enough to build up a buzz about it. It's not been something that people have been really interested in the past even.
Mm-hmm. But from Apple's standpoint, there are people that you're never going to get, right? So they're not targeting those people, but they're the undecideds. Perhaps the people that responded to your poll, because I mean, there's the inherent bias with the people who are going to respond. Are already, you could argue listening to the podcast, following the podcast, soccer fans. So then there are the people who are maybe like JC, like more sports fans in general, maybe the people that you do get the eyeballs for the World Cup because it's such a massive world event. And then they're focusing on those people, not us, not the, as you say, Wonger, the footballing heads, but then the people who are sports fans. And then that's where they get their numbers and they kind of hit their benchmarks with those people that getting on board.
I find it fascinating, the whole concept of a global sports package, which Apple does for MLS and now with this thing, apparently. It's the first time it's really happened, right? One company across the globe. This is how we're doing it, as opposed to individual markets. Really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's one more comment, and this is a bit of a Wonger's mail sack. On our YouTube at Shane C. Zyfa 4990 says, guys, do 1 minute of research about the Club World Cup before trying to guess what is on a podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, we weren't talking about the tournament itself, though.
No, well, we were last time when we were like, hey, how many teams are, what's the coefficient?
Oh, yeah, that, yeah.
I didn't, yeah.
So yeah, but listen, that's the beauty of our podcast. We organically stumble upon topics.
I actually thanked
him. That wasn't in the rundown.
No, I actually thanked him because it made me go to the FIFA Club World Cup site and figure it out. And they had the whole list. It was
so.
God, I still don't understand. They said 19 out of 25 teams so far, but that was as of March 4th.
It's 25 teams?
32 teams, I thought.
Well, there you go. Well, out of Europe or out of, I don't know. I don't know what even I. It was so.
Well, I'm glad you went to the website confusing. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad you read about it.
Commenter's
didn't
name
take
was
a lot. Didn't take
Gianni,
a lot.
Gianni underscore 435.
I was memorizing the WKRP lyrics.
Yeah, more important things,
so
right?
I can see can I perform for everybody.
Like I said, there's too much going on right now, right? Once the seasons end, we'll refocus on certain things and we will find out how many teams are in the Club World Cup, I promise you, before it kicks off next summer. Presuming it is next summer. Maybe it's the summer after. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Please like and comment.
Yeah, please like and comment. So,
yeah.
The occasionally insightful home of football. Just not in this particular case.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right, let's get to some Flaccid. We call
from
it Flaccid 3.
Team in sports, this is the
Flaccid 4.
Sorry, not tonight, honey.
Hey, Biggie.
Hey, Biggie's made an appearance on the podcast. Biggie is not what you might think. It is actually JC's dog.
He's going viral again. My dog, he's going viral again. He's got another video that's already at 600,000 on the TikTok. It'll hit 1 million by the end of the day. I mean, the last one went to 10 million overall. I mean, I'm going to retire, you know, yeah. off of my dog.
You got to monetize this.
I just don't know how.
What was the latest video? The last one was Biggie got a haircut and you're like, look how handsome you are. You got a mullet. Yeah. Yay, Biggie. And then
this
exploded.
This is a bestial one. It's bestial.
That's right. Gross.
It's the love affair between JC and his miniature dog.
Thank you.
No, what is it about this one, JC?
It's exactly the same thing. Oh. It's just he just looks so handsome and people just love that.
He does.
People are weird, man. Like I try to put out other stuff where Biggie's solving a math problem or baking a cake. Nobody cares. They just want to see it's so fickle. They just want to look at him.
So some kind of algorithm thing. So we got to do a Footy Prime video with us getting haircuts.
Yeah.
Right?
Mullets. No, we just need Biggie.
Or just use Biggie. Yeah, yeah. We'll ride Biggie's coattails.
We've talked about it. Craig interviewing Biggie Biggie interviewing Craig.
Let's try it.
Well, he's here right now. Craig, do you have any tips for on how to have a nice, thick, full, mullet?
Well, I think you need to put a little perm in that, I think.
Mm. Oh, that would be awesome. Right.
Needs a little curl. It looks like Hulk Hogan, Biggie, at the moment.
Is that animal abuse if you put a soft curled perm into Biggie? Would that be animal abuse because you're going to take it a little far?
I think it depends how tight the perm is.
Perm is fine. It gives him like a fur lift. It kind of pulls the skin of his face back.
Yeah. Fur lift. Jesus. All right. It's Flaccid 3 because there's no Jimmy and we're running out of time. But Jimmy actually had a very good question, which we'll save for next week. How about that? Sound fair?
Love it. Yep.
Sure. All right. Okay, we'll start with the Supporters Club. They came with another great one. This week is the NFL draft. Yep, the other football. What is your favorite memory of new teammates entering your team, work group, or, you guessed it, the dance floor? But mostly your team, former pros. Theirs is obviously Jimmy and Dubs being recruited by Footy Prime. But what is your favorite memory of a teammate or teammates entering your room, your team? Let's start with Dubs.
I'm going back to the Walsh family well for this answer. So when my sister Bonnie, who is the youngest, she's 5 years younger than me, was old enough to play kind of senior soccer in Quebec, she joined our team. And so I don't think Cindy was around then, but Sarah was on the team. So we were three Walsh girls on the team and Judy Walsh was the manager. And Bonnie joined as a fresh-faced 18-year-old. And I fed her the ball, and she megged a girl, went around her, scored, and then chipped the goalkeeper. And it was just in front of, like 100 fans, maybe, because it was a game with certain implications in our AAA league or whatever the league was. And I was so thrilled for my sister. Like, she tells it, and she says that my reaction was almost as if I had scored. And because I was so thrilled for her, I ran over, and I scooped her up in front of the throng of fans. I mean, for a club game in Quebec, I lifted her up like underneath her butt. And then as she slid down, I got Bonnie to moon essentially everybody who was there because her shorts stayed within my grasp.
Oh,
she was so embarrassed, but it didn't really matter because it was a great goal and everybody was talking about it. So I would say the best memory for me and like my favorite teammate that joined the fold was my little sister, Bonnie.
That's great. That's great. Nepotism, but we love it anyway.
Yeah.
it's brilliant. Any points for that?
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even think I was going to. Yeah. Got family memories.
Because that's going to.
There are four Walsh family members on a squad.
Yeah.
That is a lot of Walsh.
Walsh.
It is.
Can you imagine if Amy's sisters and mom are like her? The earnestness, the opinions.
What's the plural of Walsh? Walshi? Mm.
Walshes.
Well, I guess Walshes.
We had a great wood paneled station wagon that fit us all in. We had a backety back, so like two seats back that faced the wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh, highly coveted seats for carpool. I mean, and there was the occasional kid that would barf, right? Because they were facing the wrong way. Like, right. You don't get to go back there. And it was referred to as the Walshmobile.
Oh. And you dance in the back?
Yeah.
Come on, blow your horn, truck.
Holiday row.
Oh, yeah.
10 points, I think.
10 points.
Yep. Yeah, that's 10 points. Nice. Okay, Craig, what's your best memory of a teammate arriving?
I would say it'd have to be Paolo Di Canio. When he showed up at West Ham, been unsure, bad apple, not many clubs wanted him. He just came off a suspension for pushing a referee. Everybody knows about his personality, and a lot of people didn't want to touch him. So Harry picked him up for, I think it was $1 million. And the first training session, he hit the volley that was similar to the volley that he scored, best goal ever at Upton Park. And Harry's yelling over at Frank Lampard Sr., the assistant. Hey, Frank, we got ourselves a fucking bargain. Did he ever?
And he fit in pretty well on the team, right? In the room, despite being a little bit odd.
Oh yeah, you just never knew what you're going to get from day to day, which was fine with us. It was just difficult to manage for sure. But Harry didn't mind somebody like that. He liked signing guys that had a bit of an edge to them.
Did you ever have a personal, hey, real relationship with Paolo where you went, hey, let's go have a couple beers and all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, sometimes.
No, but just you two, or like you, the four of you guys, like where he was part of the gang.
Not so much. He kept himself to himself.
Right.
Family guy. Sort of.
As long as we're saying, can we get him on the show?
No, that's not what
I'd be brilliant, just, by the way.
I was wondering how close they were. And that was more of what I was getting from it.
Oh, yeah, we were pretty close. Yeah, he was a great teammate.
That's a good one, too. Love that. Di Canio, legend of the Premier League.
What's your score?
What do you think, guys? 10?
No, yeah. You're scoring right now. Sure.
It's going to be a 10.
I was like, fuck you, Forrest. Like, Bonnie the, Walsh in my story. It's like, oh, yeah, well, it's got to be.
They're very different, though, right? Different. They're both great stories, though. They're both, yours is a warm story, right? It's lovely. Craig's like, holy fuck, yeah, cameo. You know?
Great story, Forrest.
Great story.
10.
Okay. JC.
Well, I think in life, I was a real solo kind of cat, living in Chicago. I worked for a newspaper, and then one day at my door, my long lost cousin from Meepos showed up at my door, and he was like, "Cousin!" And so I all of a sudden had this brand new, you know, best friend and roommate, and we got into so many mischievous adventures, and his name was Balky.
Balky, you know,
we were perfect strangers, but we were so tight right off the bat. And then, you know, we met our girlfriends in the same building, Marianne and his girlfriend. I forget her name, but I tell you, we just had that team. My team went from one to a solid two. but we were really number one together. And I got to say, we, you know, we stood tall on the wings of our dreams. We rose and fall on the wings of our dreams. You know, the rain and thunder, the wind and haze, something, something for better days. Nothing's going to stop us now. Anyway.
Nothing wrong with a solid two either. There's nothing wrong with a solid deuce.
Better than a loose two.
A loose deuce.
Longer's unfamiliar with the solid two.
62 and 50.
The Metamucil is quite popular right now, Dubs.
Oh, what a great freaking show that was in a terrible kind of way, right?
Yeah.
If anyone can name the other actor, I would argue
Bronson Pinchot. Watched...
No, we all knew it was Bronson.
Mark Lynn Baker.
Thank you.
So that show was a spinoff. Or no, Family Matters was a spinoff of that.
No.
Yeah, Harriet worked with them at the newspaper, and then they gave her own show.
How about that?
This time, nothing's gonna stand in my way. Same
yeah, that
my
was heart. Very 80s. Friend. Very 80s.
Every dark shade of light at the end. And in time.
Greg is nonplussed. Greg is nonplussed by hits of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. These are the moments I miss Jimmy. He'd love that kind of thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. He'd be all over it.
Stone face.
You know, I always found it very homoerotic, that show. Were they really cousins? Mm. They were very close.
Well, he just showed up and said, we're cousins. Why don't you move in?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty very
awesome. Bert and Ernie kind of vibe to it, right?
Yeah.
It's true.
Ebert.
Yeah. Ernie. Despite it being a blatant lie.
Frog here.
It's going to be an 8 out of 10, despite being a blatant lie. It
was 8? Great.
Well... Okay, I gave you 12 because we enjoyed that one.
12, I love that.
Yes, hey, that was the biggest tangent 12. We've ever gone on.
That was a good one.
There's nothing for you, JC.
No.
All right, Wonger.
The intro for me would be my relationship with Jeff Cole, the voice vendor.
Aww.
I don't know what came first, the drunkenness or the egg, but I remember us having a beer probably about a month before we actually said, hey, what do you do? We said, I saw him at a bar. We were sitting at the bar. I was there with a colleague. JC was, I think, just finished Casper. The voiceover. Yep. With my buddy Casper. And all of a sudden we had a beer. We shared a couple beers. And then a week later or 2 weeks later, all of a sudden I see JC behind the bar, the coffee bar at Eggplant where I used to work. And I'm like, hey, man, how are you? And he's like, because we didn't realize we worked like he was doing a freelance voiceover and I was actually working there. We went, hey, let's chat. What are you doing here? He goes, do you know how to make coffee here? I go, I do not. Good luck. Then I think we went out for a beer after that because you were around. And then when we launched Footy Prime, our first record of Footy Prime in the studio, JC was also serendipitously doing a voiceover, had a voiceover session. And he said, hey, I'll do your voiceover. And I'm like, okay. And he's been with the show ever since. So
There's our JC story, his origin story.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
That's a great
story. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful, isn't it? Again, homoerotic.
But very
great.
Dan was in my pants the first time we really hung out.
Yes.
and that's true. That's true. And then he left them in the mailbox the next day.
What happened? Okay. Quickly, JC had to tell the story. Quickly.
Oh, we went. So I don't even remember. All I know is
no. I had a site survey. We were doing site surveying.
Oh, in that case, that makes sense now.
No, Kensington
the
Market.
The survey went well.
Yes, there was a bar that we were doing a live show, a pilot for Your Hood's a Joke, and JC was around. I said, "Hey, man, I'm meeting a couple guys there. You want to? It's around the corner from you." And we had some beers in the afternoon, and JC goes, "Hey, let's go out tonight." And I'm like, "Well, I had clothes that I couldn't go out in because I was kind of scrubby. I'd biked down there." And JC goes, "I've got a pair of jeans if you want." And I bought a shirt in Kensington Market and we put it on. That was it. Exactly.
That was the first day. That was our first date.
JC's showing a picture.
First date.
On his phone.
And the funny thing is, JC, we went out to a place called Broncos and drank till closing.
Yeah. And that. So Dan ended up
a lot of drinking in this story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan ended up riding his bike home and then cleaned the side of a van because he fell into it and just went across. And I woke up at 3 a.m. to the staff being like, "Do you have to leave?" I was on the toilet, you see.
You fell asleep in the toilet.
That's a good story. All right. Because it's JC, you go give you 12 out of 10 for that.
Thank you.
12 out of 10.
Hey, Charms, you go.
Very quickly, then, it's not because we're running out of time already. When I came to Canada, I learned about North American sports through Sportsline and Global, Mark Hebsherb, Jim Taddy. Remember that show? It was brilliant. Yeah. And then Headline Sports / The Score, they hired Mark Hebsherb after a couple of years. And I got to meet Hebsy, got to know him. Fantastic dude. Very, very cool. I wouldn't say I was starstruck. I didn't get starstruck, but it was pretty cool to meet him. And I've known him ever since. Brilliant guy. Big Spurs fan. And we should actually probably get Hebsy on this show at some point.
He was on the basketball show JC and I worked on.
Oh,
the
was
podcast.
He? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've known Hebsy since he was at Sportsnet, too.
Oh, well, geez, let's get him on.
Sweet guy.
Yeah. Absolute legend. Yeah.
All right. And he has great stories.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Back in the glory days of Toronto sports, back in the 90s.
Yeah. And even earlier, his dad was involved in, I think, the Toronto Huskies or something like that. They were a professional basketball team.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, he's a professional Husky dog racing. Iditarod.
What are you doing with your hands?
I don't know.
Iditarod.
You know, like you're like got the reins.
It's like you're doing like the desk pedal.
I'm gonna give that an 8, Charles.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's move it. Let's get flying through here. Okay.
We're
as well. So okay. Who's next? Dubs.
Oh Christ! Right. My question.
Dubs. Yes, let's hurry up.
Yes, hurry up. Come on.
I am unprepared.
Okay. When Anthony cupped his ears to celebrate United's win in front of Coventry fans, noted wind-up man Neil Maupay tweeted, "Just for the record, not even I would do this." So what's the most classless celebration you've ever seen or been a part of? Forrest.
I would have to say Martinez at the World Cup. The goalkeeper.
With the golden glove and the
describe for people who don't know.
Yeah, what did he get the golden glove award?
Yeah.
And he started wanking it.
He threw in his groin right and started like just gyrating.
Yeah.
On stage.
On stage.
It really
billion was. People watching
in front of a sheik.
In front of a sheik.
Not a sheik move in front of a sheik.
Yeah, it didn't probably go down. His face looked like he was chewing on a wasp, that sheik.
That was good.
Didn't Martinez kind of give it like an overbite as he was doing
it? Yeah.
And you guys couldn't see, but he had his toes pointed too. He had pointed toes and he was giving it the white man's overbite.
Which followed absolutely legendary shithousery in penalty kicks, right?
That's right, which they even changed rules about. So there you go.
Excellent.
That's a good one. I like
10
that.
Points.
Yeah. I think he was the first guy booked for that offense when he was with Villa recently in the penalty shootout. He got booked.
That's right.
Doing exactly the same thing. No.
Well, and people thought it was his second yellow. He should have been tossed, but because that doesn't get rescinded, but it starts over again when you get into penalties.
That's right. Yeah. Onana had the same thing. He was booked in the game, and he was also booked in the penalty shootout. Yeah.
Yep. 10 points for Forrest. Excellent answer.
Nice.
Sharms.
To start with, it's Neil Mope.
Sorry.
Well, I wouldn't have mentioned it had he not hammered me for 2 years about Sinky. Okay.
Because he's French, right? So I thought Mope. Mope.
I don't know the A part, but it's Mo, not Mo. Yeah. Anyway.
Pardon me.
So the worst show of sportsmanship I've ever seen.
I think
was
that's
my,
your like, antenna, JC. Sorry to interrupt.
This?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's causing buzzing.
Sorry. My daughter's under 12 ringette team. They in an opposing team's barn. They won like 9-0, 10-0, right? And at the end of the game, they skate off and shake hands, right? But before they shook hands, I saw this thing in slow motion. I thought, oh no, they're not going to, are they? They skate the center ice and did this rehearsed celebration thing where a big circle and the one in the middle's got a gun, and all like falling down. And they just won like 10-0 in the opposing team's barn. The other girls are still standing there waiting to shake their hands.
Oh no.
And they did this. I was like, oh my God, please don't. So they did that. It was really embarrassing. Nothing happened or came of it. But I had to, and I'm not this person, this parent, but I had to make a comment on the parental coaching group chat. How wrong and bad sportsmanship that is.
How was that received?
Well, actually, they actually agreed and they said they'll have a word and it won't happen again.
Was it player motivated or
yes,
was
all
this
player motivated?
Well, fuck them.
I know. 12-year-old girls, they're nasty.
Assholes.
Absolute.
I like that story though. I like that you got involved. Mm. And I like that it was 12-year-old girls being assholes.
Yeah. Go to the 13. Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm gonna give that. It's all part of life lessons though. This is what sports is all about. And hopefully they learn from that.
Hopefully, yeah.
Amy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a commentary on the sad state of kids' sports and how tightly wound I think parents are, but that important lessons can still be learned. So I like that a lot. 10 points as well.
Thank you.
Wonger, you're next.
So I've told you about how unceremoniously I was relieved from my sporting position at McGill football, and I graduated the next year. Well, the year after, I went and played at Concordia. We are now playing against my former team after taking a year off because that was the rule. You can't go and play right away at another school. So luckily, about second quarter, right before halftime, they're driving and I intercept the ball. And it's right by the McGill sideline. And I ran past the sideline to every player and every coach with the ball, staring at them like this as I went through.
Like so
you're actually talking about yourself.
Yeah, I was the most classless thing I've ever done, but it felt so good. It felt so good. And my buddies who were playing at McGill went, that was so funny because you just went all along the sideline, just going, na-da-da-da-da.
So the whole unwritten rule where you you don't celebrate against your former team, you're like the opposite.
Oh, always do the opposite. I'm the Costanza of sports. I live on my parents' couch. I eat tuna fish on rye. I don't have a job.
You can picture that, can't you?
Oh, I love that. I'm still having to rack my brain as you guys are answering for my own answer because it certainly didn't come from me in terms of the classless celebration. So I love that you, Wonger, it's your own memory. It's you yourself being classless. So I feel like this would go one of two ways. You could either get a 15 or you could get a 2. But because I'm a bitter, bitter woman, and this is a retribution of sorts for last week's Flaccid Four, I award you 2.
You won last week.
So petty.
I gave you points.
You gave me 4.
Yeah.
On your first question.
But then I added 5. You won last week.
All right, let's get moving. Who's next? Right?
I love your bitterness, though. I appreciate
JC,
it.
Yeah.
JC. Holding a grudge against you, Wonger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mine's self-deprecating also. This was like 4, 5, 6 years ago. I was in New York
I was at a bar called Whiskey Tavern, and I'd show there was a Jays and were playing Yankees, and I'd just shown up to the bar, and I had my Jays hat on, and as I walk in, home run Jays, and I'm like, yeah, fucking, I'm running around being like, that's right, that's right. Turns out it was just it was a replay from a game like a couple years before. So it was just looking at me like, what's wrong with this person? So I left the bar. That was it. That's about it. But I learned my lesson.
Classless and stupid.
Yeah.
Yes. But because of that unique pairing, yeah, I give you a 10.
Yes. All right.
So it's JC.
No, JC always gets the JC points. Eh? It's like JC tax.
Yeah.
He gets more points because he's JC.
It's like the slower kid in school. He gets a gold star every time.
And the fact that he's in New York watching the Jays on TV.
Yeah, that's that too, right? Yeah.
I could have been murdered. I could have been murdered. Absolutely murdered. But good thing it was just a replay from... I'm like, Batista still plays for the Jays? That's weird. They brought him out for George one game.
Bell? Yay, George Bell.
Catch them all, Joe.
It's your response to your own question.
Right, and this is effectively going to be, I'm going to be the pot calling the kettle black because I just took you to task for you yourself being classless, and I'm going to tell a story about myself that just came to me because of JC's baseball story. So when we were at the Olympics in 2008, the second week that we were there, I've talked about this, we were eliminated, we lost in a quarterfinals to the US, but then we got a chance to be kind of Olympians, like Canadians, as part of that contingent for the second week. And it was amazing. We got to go to regattas. We got to go to water polo. We got to go to track events, watch Usain Bolt run. And then we got to go see a baseball game where we were seeing the Canadian men's team play. I forget who they were playing, but a number of us, whether we're at Ohio State or Nebraska, had teammates from college playing for the Canadian team. So we show up and Brittany Timko was with us, and Britt in that game against the US had not only broken ribs but punctured her lung. And so like this shitty bus that we took us fucking 2 hours to get there. We were late, and then Britt could barely walk she could walk, but like she couldn't walk quickly because of the strain on her lungs. So we're like hauling Britt along so we get to this game on time. As we come up the steps into this baseball stadium, which is like a small, similar to a college setup, there's a crack of the bat. And I look up, which is instinctual, right? And then this ball's coming right over to like sort of the concourse as you come up these stairs. So I sprint over to it and I reach up kind of across my body with my left hand and I nab the ball as it was hit. Mm-hmm. And I turn around to like me and Britt and Cara and like say six of us that have shown up to this game. And I'm like, yeah, like go Canada. We're like high-fiving. The place goes like bananas. And I look over and there's this small Chinese man with a baseball glove. I'd apparently intercepted the ball from the bat from it landing in his glove. And he looks at me with his arms up like, what the fuck? And I'm like, sorry. And then I'm like, yeah, go Canada. And like, I just left the poor man standing there and I'd apparently stolen the ball from him, but felt no remorse.
Very.
So rather classless on my part.
That guy sat there probably for like 20 years waiting for the chance, taking his mitt to every fucking game.
Some Guaylo princess.
Barehanded it. And Walsh fucking nabbed it. You probably took it right out of his glove is what you did.
No, I didn't. I got it in the air. It was like far away from his glove as he was waiting for it to fall kind of like underhanded. Yeah. But anyway.
That was a headline-making episode time in our Walsh's life, right? Like she cock-blocked. She had sex with a 7'6" Chinese man, Yao Ming, and then grabbed a baseball. Like it was. You had a lot of milestones. You added a lot of check marks.
And apparently, Asian men are a big part of it.
That's right.
Right.
Chinese men in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all coming back. Yeah. It's all coming back.
Not Yao. Maybe later. What do I get?
Yeah, it's pretty hard not to get a 12.
That's a pretty good win. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Is that it from the WC
round? This round?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
All right. What are you doing, JC?
It's a heart. Yeah, it's a heart. I saw some girls on TikTok do it. Yeah. I'm on TikTok now, see?
Oh!
No kidding!
Oh, really?
What? If you do the heart symbol on whatever we're on, you get hearts on the screen.
On an Apple, you get hearts on the screen. Wow.
I've got an Apple, though.
Does this do anything?
Do fingers.
Well, your fingers aren't doing the shape, Charms. I've never seen a more terrible heart.
Apples. It's only on Apples. It's only
I've got Apple.
Mac.
I've got a Mac, though.
Yeah, from 1933.
No, it's not. Well, actually, this one isn't.
Your heart looks like
the thumbs work.
That's why.
At least they used to work. Oh, you know what it is? I use a different camera than the actual Mac camera. But that's what it is.
You're bypassing the emojis.
Your heart again.
That one?
Oh, that one. Like binoculars.
That's my heart sign. All right, who's next? Is it me?
Yeah, it's right? You. That's you. It's you.
I don't need my glasses now, actually. I didn't
nobody
know that.
Has a clue.
All this time,
fuck now,
just do this.
Yeah.
All right, my question is, Sheffield United conceded its 92nd goal this past season, past week. Beating Derby County's previous record of 89 goals in this season. All right. 16 points, meanwhile, so far is still better than Derby's 11-point total in 07-08. Still awful defense this year. 92 goals against, and there's still, what, a handful of games left for Derby, for Sheffield United. What is the worst defensive team you've ever seen or played against? Worst defensive team. Okay. Craig.
Probably our sagging 95 Premier League Ipswich side last eight games of the season. I think if we had put pylons out on the pitch, we would have done better.
Was that a relegation season?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Was it system-based or player-based?
That's a painful experience. As great as football can be and the highs that you can have, ooh, that was rock bottom.
So was it personnel or was it just systems that cost the...
No. Everybody was, I mean, they were like lambs of the slaughter. They were so tired. And I think that the 3 years that John Lyle kept us in the Premier League was quite miraculous, really, for the squad we had. And yeah, it was pretty bad. The 9-0 was part of that run.
Is it the inevitableness of the end of the season, like 7-10 games left, and you guys know you're shite and you don't have a chance? Is that part of it?
Yeah.
And can't do anything about it, right? You can't turn anything. There's no switch. No one's good enough. You're literally a broken, unenergetic, unenthusiastic team.
Yeah, no, exactly. Wow. Yeah, it's quite something when you get beaten down that long and how the reaction or lack of reaction is when the guys that just lose that edge and, it was just get us down.
I love that you use the word sagging to describe, that trajectory and that energy, because that's exactly what it is. And Wonger, talking about that sense of inevitability, there's nothing worse as an athlete because you control everything that's within your control. The manager tactically, in terms of physical preparation, tries to control everything that they can. And then the result in many ways is out of your hands, but you think that you're well within, your abilities to control everything. But then when you feel that slipping away, there's nothing, and it going toward the negative, there's oftentimes the momentum hits and then things just happen and kind of that positive momentum for the positive. You know what I mean? Where it comes out, you're on the right end of it. But when you're on the wrong end of it, there's just no worse feeling.
Yeah. And you're sort of battling with yourself going, should I book a hamstring in? Should I pull this? How can I miss a game? Can I be sick? All these things. And then, I got to show character because everybody's going to know that. And it's the guys in the dressing room and you want to still show up and face it every single week. So you're just fighting all that all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. It's depressing as hell.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It's not all highs and butterflies in the world of football, especially with relegation.
Rainbows and unicorns, eh, Krigger?
That's right.
All right, points for that?
Well, it's your question.
Is it mine? Oh, yes, that's great. I mean, Christ, I want to put a bullet on my head. But 12.
Well, on the counter of that, I'll tell you, when we actually stayed the year before when we played last game of the season, we needed at least a draw at Blackburn. They had, you know, Shear and Sutton, and they just came off winning the title the year before. So we needed a draw at least, or we were relegated. And we managed to – we were drawing, and it was late in the game. And the way things were going, I was going up for corners to try to score at 0-0. And then I was going to go up again later in the game, and I was getting the hold on to stay back, and I didn't know what was going on. The final whistle went, and the bench ran on the field, and they're like, Steen had scored for Chelsea against Sheffield United in the 95th minute, and it was enough for us to draw to stay up. Ecstasy. Right. Never been in a higher place in my entire life. And then 12 months later, it's
impossible. Oh, you brought it back. I liked how you brought it back, though.
There we go.
You went from suicidal with Sharms to, hey, the world's a little better place when Craig's in the Premier League.
Yeah, football is life, they say.
I'll give you an added point. There's a 13 then.
13 for Craig.
It's a good one.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah, well deserved.
Okay, Wonger.
Worst defensive team, the Tottenham squad this year. You never know what they're going to do. Spurs, I want Spurs to win just because I like seeing when my friends' teams, my friends' clubs do well. And JC has been a fan, and I like seeing them do well. And I like Sonny and Jaideep, who sent me that jersey my daughter wore it the other day. So that, thank you.
Oh,
yeah. What?
I watched it.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know the history of it.
God.
It's like John Wayne Gacy. You.
I don't know that.
The clown costume.
Where's that costume? DNA?
It's the clown. It's the clown with the dead bodies in the basement. She doesn't know the history. So
Spurs is the worst defensive team you've seen.
I think the Spurs are
the fifth best defensive team in the Premier League this season.
They're not, though. It's because of they lose.
It's the perception because of the high line and that they're always committed to that no matter what.
Yeah.
So right. There you go.
I see. You
didn't see the 2007 TFC team. Holy shit.
Holy shit. Yeah, no kidding. I'll say this, though. Actually, looking at the table, you know what's amazing? Everton, 48 goals against. It is fewer than Spurs by one. Everton have like the fifth best defensive record in the Prem this year, yet they are down in 16th place. Only scored 36. That might be why. Second worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's good though, Wonger. I like, because it's perception as opposed to actually hard facts.
Yeah.
So I'll give you 7 for that.
Thank you. I'll take a 7.
What I was going to say about Spurs is they're the only team, I think, that has a match against the three who are, well, perhaps the two-horse race now for the title, but they play a game against Arsenal. Spurs are at home this weekend, and then next weekend they're away at Liverpool, and then they're at home versus City.
Yeah, fun matches, say, on Fubo for the rest of the year for the Spurs there, JC. San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama.
They will play a role very much in the final table.
What's the over-under for goals total for those three games?
For all three together?
Yeah. 12?
They'll be high scoring.
Will. I think that's a good number. I would almost go over.
Yeah. Probably. That's a tough one, isn't it? 12 and a half?
All right, Dubs.
So the 99 World Cup, we opened our group play against Japan at Spartan Stadium in San Jose. 1-1 draw. That was my first World Cup game. And then we came back to the East Coast and we faced Norway and we got destroyed 7-1. And then it was a do or die game against Russia in that third group game. And if we got a result, then we would go through. And that would have been the first time that Canada did that. And Jerry Donnelly played I Believe in Miracles as we got off the bus. And we promptly lost 4-1. So I know the question was framed as the worst defensive team you faced. But unfortunately for us and for Nicky Wright, who was our goalkeeper then, but we didn't do much to help Nicky. We conceded way too many goals to be successful at that World Cup. So it was us. Canada, the 99 World Cup. We were the worst defensive team.
I love the self-deprecation. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're killing ourselves here.
I know, totally.
Also, yeah. I Believe in Miracles by Hot Chocolate. Great song.
I believe in miracles. No. Didn't the lead singer of Hot Chocolate die of AIDS?
Probably.
I think he did.
So did Jermaine Stewart.
Who's next thing?
You don't have to take your clothes off to have a good time.
Oh, 37. If only he'd followed that advice.
Yep. And so did Leroy from Fame.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yep.
And Rock Hudson.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Obviously not a Rock Hudson fan.
Once again, lines up on the wrong side with the apartheid
Cubs. Terrible.
And of course, the late great Freddie Mercury. May rest in peace. Yeah, who's now JC?
Wait, points?
Oh, I'll give you 10.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Mine's not very exciting, but it's basically every NBA All-Star game, there is zero defense in every NBA All-Star game. And I mean, I think they hit like over 200 points like per team now. Because there's absolutely it's just a showboating thing. So if we're getting technical, there's absolutely zero defense.
Two worst All-Star games, NBA and NHL. The two worst All-Star games.
Football.
Yeah. Talking about
NFL.
Pro Bowl. They don't even do the Pro Bowl anymore. They don't even play it. No, they turned it into a skills competition. Because not true. They do play it, but no one's like maybe that's the worst Pro Bowl.
every all-star game.
No, there's some all-star games. I thought that MLS all-star game is not too shabby with the skills, and you don't have to take people out at the ankle to still be skillful with football.
It wasn't shabby. They didn't play a Bayer Leverkusen.
Major League Baseball.
Not too shabby.
No, it's getting good because they have a home field advantage on that now. So they try to play a serious game.
I thought they got rid of that. Did they get rid of that?
Yeah, I can't remember now. I don't watch any All-Star games.
Why would the players, half, like 90% of the players playing in that All-Star game aren't going to be in the final anyway? They're not even thinking about that.
Yeah.
And nobody remembers anyway until you get to the final. Oh, who won the All-Star game? Right. You always try to make these a little bit more meaningful to bring attention to them, but interesting, they don't do it in European football at all.
Yeah, they played MLS played Arsenal last MLS All-Star game, and Arsenal won 5-0. There you have it.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes MLS teams do all right because of teams in preseason, and I expect even against Arsenal that they might, you know, they're a bit tired. You're training hard. You're getting ready for the season. So you can be tired going into preseason games, and man, oh man. I mean, the year we got promoted, I think our preseason, we went to Finland. We were losing to lower division Finnish teams and Scandinavian teams in preseason.
Well, you were finished.
not that process
you expected.
Who's left? Is it me?
You.
Is it just me? Is it
you?
Okay, very quickly. We're at an hour and 10 minutes. Jesus.
I know you keep saying very quickly and you keep.
And I don't go on. I'm cramming my answers in.
Right,
you fuckers are going on forever. Jesus.
Cram.
My under 14 rugby team. We lost. We were down 95-0 at halftime of one match against Thurrock. I remember it well, Thurrock. And these dudes showed up and their beards, and they showed up in their mopeds. And this is not under 14 rugby, right? These guys are massive. And they literally just ran through us. That wasn't the one game that I couldn't play for the opposition, for Christ's sakes. Thanks, Dad. We love that one. Half time.
Let you play in that game, and he did any trades you on every other game.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Maybe that's why it's 95-0.
There's nothing worse than trying.
It was cold at halftime.
Charms. There's nothing worse, right? Trying to tackle someone when you're down 95-0. When you're already outmanned, out physical, all of those kind of. There's nothing worse.
No, and when you know that he'll just dish the ball anyway. To someone else who will run through someone else. It's just soul destroying.
That is.
Really is.
I like that answer though.
You took a Thurrock beating.
Nice. All right, is that it? That's it.
That's a 9.
A 9? Okay. Cool.
And the winner, I've got it added up already. The winner of the lowest score out of 30 is 19, because that's me. I'm not even close to winning.
The high score
this week, the Flaccid Four winner. And we knew it was always inevitable.
Craig Forrest with 35 Yay, out of Forrest. 30.
Well done, Craig. Well done, Craig.
It's footy picks.
DJ Mello D.
It's footy picks. It's footy picks. It's footy picks. On footy prime.
All right, so let's get moving. 9 hour and 10 minutes in. Be
all right, I've got one then.
All right, give me a game you're looking at and why you like it.
Newcastle United over Sheffield. So we know that is going to win, but I actually chose a correct score. So it's going to be 3-0 for Newcastle United. $5 gets you $42.50 on the new app that I'm using.
To win 3-0?
Just to be determined.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. All right.
I used North Star Bet. Our friends over at North Star Bet, I used your app today. Just so
yeah,
you
me
know.
Too, actually. I used them today. Oh. Yeah. Okay, JC.
I'd City over Forest because it's City over Forest.
It's a valid point.
I hate Jimmy.
Good.
And $5 can win you 33 cents.
Yes.
The payout is $5.33.
Baby steps. Dubs.
I have got Chelsea over Barca in the second leg of the Women's Champions League semifinal.
Ooh.
So Barca are two-time winners and the holders, so this will not be easy, and they have perhaps angered Barca. But for Chelsea to have won away and at Barcelona was the first time that Barca's lost in 5 years. And then the other semifinal, Lyon came back and scored 3 goals, I think in like the final 10 minutes to win that 3-2 versus PSG. So the final, if Chelsea are able to get it over the line, could be the current Chelsea manager in Emma Hayes versus the future or rumored future manager of Chelsea in Sonia Bonpastor, who is the manager of Lyon.
Wow. Lyon were dominant, a bossing women's team for so long, weren't they?
Eight-time Champions League winners. Yes.
Crazy.
They took it very seriously a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. Yep.
All right, Craig.
Ipswich Town to beat Hull City away.
What's going on there? How close? What's like? I haven't looked at the champions.
Well, place, right? They are chasing. I mean, they haven't played for a bit, so they basically feel like they're getting rope-a-dope because Leicester won a couple games. They're looking in good shape to win the league, Leicester. And it's a good thing because it'll be interesting to see what happens to them with the financial fair play because they've lost an awful lot of money. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with them in the off season, even potential points deductions for them if they get promoted. So it's crazy what's going on there.
You're talking Leicester, correct?
Yeah, that's Leicester City. But with the other teams in there and the hunt, Leeds are right in there. They're a point ahead of Ipswich, but Ipswich have a game in hand. There's only 3 games left for Ipswich, 2 for Leeds. But what they're doing, Ipswich really being promoted from last year from Division 1 into the Championship and with the potential to be up against teams that are spending a few $100 million in wages compared to what they're spending and probably about $20 million in wages. It really is remarkable what they're doing. So like Neil Warnock said, he goes, let's hope Ipswich spoiled the party a bit because there's Southampton are in the mix there too. But they're in the playoffs for sure.
Let's hope that you can work your contacts there and get us an Ipswich guest at some point, because if they get promoted, that's a huge, huge story. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Spurs-Arsenal, the North London derby. I like the draw in this one. If you go with the draw and over 2.5 total goals, that's odds of plus 756. So a 2-2 or a 3-3 can own you some good money there. Of course, the Gunners beating Chelsea last week looking really good. I understand that. But Spurs had a week off because of the FA Cup. So they're fresh coming off that 4-0 loss to Newcastle. There'll be tons of goals in this one. And I got a feeling that Spurs will do all they can to derail Arsenal's hopes. So a draw in that one.
Liked how you said they're fresh. I almost broke out into Quill and the Gang. She's fresh, exciting, so exciting and new. He's fresh.
Didn't cool. Fresh. No, I have no idea how he died.
Fresh
all right. We're an hour and 15 minutes in, despite it being a flaccid 3. Still, yep. I think it was a full show. Good way to end the week, don't you think?
Yeah, amazing.
Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, by the way. Take a look at our videos. There's more on the way there, of course. And of course, we are footyprime.com. That's our website. Check it out. Make it a regular visit for you each day. And this past week, four MLS podcasts, TFC, Montreal, Vancouver, and Box to Box. And of course, the Foundationals, which are never dated.
Never.
And tomorrow.
Like tomorrow. You in your teenage years, never dated.
Yeah. You're not far off, actually. Anyway, sorry, JC. And tomorrow, there may be a podcast being dropped as well, right?
Oh, sorry. I thought JC.
Yes. Oh, we have a broadcast.
Yes, broadcast.
Dropping tomorrow, Saturday, April the 27th, my wife's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday. Yay.
Yay. And she's a woman. She's a woman, right?
Most of the time.
It's fitting. It's fitting. I'm assuming you'll take that after the Champions League semifinals, right, Dubs? So you can preview the final?
Of course, yes. It's all part of the plan.
It's not, is it?
And
perhaps a preview.
Tons of Premier League, too, on our friends at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime to subscribe.
Yes. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that.
Thanks, Jimmy, for 30 seconds.
Yeah, of anger. We've got 30 seconds of angry Jimmy.
Yeah, and that he gets paid by the word.
He did send us his internet speed, which was 1.3 megabytes per second. So he was having some issues. It was impotent this morning.
It was flaccid.
His internet. Yeah. His internet was impotent.
We'll have Jimmy back. Let's hope by Monday morning. All right, everyone. Thank you. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.